greatly to be praised. In the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness, beautiful for situation, joy of the whole earth. Is Mount Zion on the side of the north, the city
here this morning, and as we do every Sunday, we pray that you will find our worship acceptable and that you would meet us and that you would indeed inhabit the praises of your people. Amen.
Get all excited, go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Get all excited, go tell everybody.
Still the King of Kings. Build your house on the rock. Build your Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a cheer.
Jesus. Hallelujah.
All right. Well, good morning, everybody. I thought when I came back, it'd be a little bit cooler. I guess I was wrong. Well, it's good to be back. Good to see my family. Good to see all of you. It was a short trip in the sense of time, but it was long in the sense of everything that we needed to do and how we needed to do it. But praise the Lord, we got it all done. And now we're ready to continue moving forward. As you go out, you know, outside sort of your normal area of operations, you tend to see different things than you do every day. You hear different things, whether it be on the radio or different folks or whichever. Other things come to remembrance, things from the past, you know, as you have a little space to yourself. Well, one of these things was this, I don't know if it's a phrase or just a mentality, but you hear it out in the world. Folks all looking to find themselves. Looking to find myself. I'm just taking a little time off. Got to find myself. Oh, if I could just find myself. Then I'm wondering, why the heck are you looking for yourself? That ain't what you should be looking for. What we need to be trying to find is Jesus. The only true way to find joy and happiness is to find that thing that the Lord has called you to do. And when you get that thing and you know that that's the thing that He's called you to do, you grab hold of it and you move forward in that without hesitation, without looking back. Because that's the place where you can truly find yourself. Find yourself for that purpose that you were created for. And that's to serve Him in any way that He would have you. Now, far too often, we get in our own way. And what we find are those things that we want to do. They sound fun. They make us feel good. But really what it comes down to is it's just what you want to do. So you're trying to convince yourself that that's what you've been looking for. You're trying to convince everybody around you that, yeah, this is what I'm supposed to do. But really, that's all pride. That's all just me, me, me. And we're so dang stubborn that when somebody tells you otherwise, or even when you're confronted with it, straight on, we turn the other way. We ignore it. I know in my life I've done that far too often. And something that I've struggled with in the past and continue to struggle with. But identifying the issue is the first step to solving it. It really comes down to whether or not you want that which the Lord has for you. It comes down to that want. If you want just something else, that's what you're going to do. If you want the things of God, that's what you're going to search after. I keep looking over here at a verse. I'm not sure if I'm going to read it. I was over in, I think it was John, and I was reading about John the Baptist when he baptized Jesus. And a thought came through my mind that, you know, it tied together a couple of sermons and, you know, the word, where Jesus, for the first 30 years or so of his life, he was a man. And David described it as he had that veil of a man. He didn't perform any miracles. It was after that baptism that he really stepped out in his ministry. And that's when we see the mighty works of God happen. When Jesus was crucified, the law ended, the Mosaic law. I don't believe that we have any Jews in the house. We're all Gentiles. So really, that Mosaic law didn't apply to us. But praise God, it gave us the opportunity to come into the fold through Jesus. Now, far too often, after folks accept Jesus and they're baptized, they go down into the water and they come up. There ain't no change. There ain't no difference. And as soon as you come out of that water, for many folks, the law of your choosing is applied, whether it be a Pentecostal law, a Baptist law, a Methodist law, a whatever you want to say, law. You get all these different rules. You get all these different things. This eat not, drink not, touch not, smoke not, do not, not. The only two commandments that Jesus gives us is love the Lord thy God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. Now you might say, well, Brother Scott, I'm not a Pentecostal, I'm not a Methodist, I'm just all right, I ain't got any of them laws. All right, well, look close at your life. Because the hidden things might be hidden to you. They're not to others, and they're certainly not hidden from God. What I'm getting at is all the different social sort of rules and laws that you put on yourself. You behave one way when you go to work. You behave another way with your family. You behave another way with your friends. You behave a different way here. Each situation you put yourself into, you have a different set of rules because you need to fit into that particular box where you are. And all these things pile up. All of these things are these veils, these facades that we put on so that we can be accepted out in society. Now, if that's what you're looking for, then go somewhere and do it. If you want to be accepted of God, all that stuff needs to be torn down and put away. Thrown out. Before the Lord can use you, before you can receive blessings, you need to be set free. The truth shall set you free. He died for you. You need to be loosed of all these things that bind you down. If you don't see where they are, if you don't see what they are, search deeper because they're there. Let's get rid of them.
Of the earth. Couple things got said are definitely true. But we go on these pilgrimages, we're going to find out who we are. I wasn't looking particularly to find out who I was, but I unfortunately did. And I found out that I was kind of a free agent dirtbag, a non-aligned free agent dirtbag. And I was aware that I needed to pursue Jesus Christ, but I knew that I had no driving motivation to do that. I knew it was right. And until I got desperate enough, when I got desperate enough, I said, "Oh God, help me, get me my heart that is longing after you, because I need it. I don't have it." And he honored that. And every now and then, you know, you need to recommit that one, because we tend to get cold and forget where our need was. But the need never goes away. Just our commitment to finding him and committing to his plan. That commitment kind of wanes as we get comfortable with ourselves. And there's no such thing as room for being comfortable with ourselves, because ourselves are at enmity with God. Sitting there listening to John 16 this morning. And, you know, there are things in John 16 that the disciples find kind of upsetting. But as I listened to Jesus give testimony of the Father's concern and provision for them, and the degree to which, the detail to which his concern is for those disciples, In really every aspect, you know, 16 doesn't open up real well. 16 opens up with these things I've spoken to you that you should not be offended or upset. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think he doeth God's service. The first thing that comes to my mind right there is that was Paul. What he thought exactly. It's exactly what he thought he was doing. And he had a zeal for it. But it will put you out of the synagogues is, you know, in today's lingo, is they're going to run you out of the churches. The churches don't really want to know the truth. They're more reminiscent of the synagogues back during Jesus' ministry, where the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they didn't want to know the truth. They were interested in protecting their power and their position. So, they didn't work just satisfied with that position of greed and lust for power. They wanted to stop everybody else from receiving. Because that didn't sustain them in their pursuit of power and position. I know that if you listen to Davey long enough, you'll hear that he had been invited on occasion not to return to many churches. That's because they no longer endure sound doctrine. And rather in trusting in the fear of the Lord, they turn from it and trust in their own judgment. And that's not a good thing. But you said as you go through 16, you go down to 6, but because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. He is going to be preparing the way for you to minister. He's going to be outfitting you with everything you need to do that ministry. They're perplexed. They don't understand, you know, why? Where is it you're going? And what do you mean by I go to the Father? And what do you mean by a little while? Now, Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him and said unto them, do you inquire among yourselves of that I said, a little while, you shall see me, you shall not see me, and again a little while, and you shall see me? Verily, verily, I say unto you that you shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And you should be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned to joy. You know, that is the testimony over the years of at least in part his work in my life. That sorrow, when it comes to fruition, he always turns to joy. As I recommit and recommit to the trust in him and the provision of him for me, his commitment and his love for me and the work that he has done for me. None of that has ever changed. What has changed and fluctuated is me. A woman, when she's in travail, will have sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she's delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now, therefore, have sorrow, but I will see you again. And your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man can take from you. And to me, this is where that detail of the Lord's concern for the disciples is. It's important to him that they have that joy, that they receive that joy. And it's something, it cannot be taken from you. That's really kind of minutiae stuff that our Lord loves us. And he don't want us to be all bound up in torment and fear and anguish and uncertainty. He wants us to have joy in him. Have fun. Enjoying one another. Exhorting one another. Preferring one another. Because of him. And then there's just a series of statements about because. It's almost an explanation of part of what makes this a joyous thing. For them. And by virtue of it being for them, it becomes for us by receiving the word of their testimony. It becomes part of his outfit and provision for us to do his thing. In that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he'll give it to you. How good is that? What is that? Does it say some of the things? Every now and then you'll hit on something. You'll ask the Father for in my name, and he'll give it to you. No. No, it says whatever. That means anything. And if you can grasp your hands, your arms around that, because when your mind is to serve and please and delight him, then the things you ask for are going to be different than the consuming of it on your own lusts. They're going to be consuming it on bringing people to the saving knowledge of that Lord of yours who cares for you. And by demonstrating that relationship to them, because that's all that matters. All that matters. Amen. Hitherto you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. This is that glorious Lord and Savior that is Jesus Christ. And he gives this testimony because these things, even down to these little minor things, matter to him. Because, as 1 Peter 5 says, he cares for you. I don't know, man. My reaction to that is, how good is that? The Lord of the universe cares for me. He cares for you. Avail yourself of that. Make haste in it. Seek him while he can be found. Trust in the work that he did on the cross to be the complete and all that is necessary work to redeem you to be his follower and his servant and his disciple. Today, do it. Recommit to it in Jesus' name.
Song a lot. Scott, you're talking about people going and finding themselves. And what was crossing my mind, I was thinking to myself, I am going and trying to run away from myself. But hey, everywhere I went, that old sucker was right there. Son of a gun. Turn around, find myself in a pit. How'd I get here? I was trying to get away from myself. Here I am, me and myself and the mess I caused. Head deep in it. And I'm not going to say what it was. But praise the Lord. You know, Scotty brought up a point, and it's the point was, and I forget the exact words that you said, but in the sense of what happens, you know, you're coming back up from the baptism, whatever, and what... You end up doing what you want to do, essentially. You end up doing what you want to do. Now, it's just evident if you want to be the Lord's servant, part of His army, part of His kingdom, and it's evident when you want to be about your own business, no matter what you tell yourself or what you tell others. I mean, see, because if you believe God, you're going to obey God. That's just how it works. It's very simple. And we have the apostles and prophets that the Lord has given us. He's given us a line of authority and a way we can partake of His grace, and that's the way He designed it. That's the way He designed it. And what you have is you have really a choice of what you're going to partake in. There's really only two kingdoms. There's the kingdom of God and the kingdom of this world. Which of that are you going to partake of? You can be like the first generation where Paul was talking about the great provision of the Lord is there for you right in front of your face right now to grab, to receive, to hang on to and run with. You know what? The first generation of the children of Israel had that same thing, but they did not enter the promised land because of what? Unbelief. And their pride and their rebellion kept them from receiving it. Kept them from receiving it. They would not believe God. Joshua and Caleb comes back. The land is great, flowing with milk and honey, just like the Lord promised. Just like the Lord promised. What do they want to do? They want to go, you're leading us out there to die. Let's kill you. Do we do that to the same, to the apostles and prophets that are sent down before us? When we judge them, when we judge them, when they give us the advice so that we can be free, and we judge them, call them all names, we might not say it aloud, but we do it in our heart. There's no difference. No difference at all there. And because of that, the first generation did not receive the promised land. But here we have, that's an example for us to partake of. We can partake in becoming that perfect man and taking that promise which the Lord has for us. It's right there for us. But Joshua, and when it was time, when Joshua came and the second generation into the promised land, what did they do? They believed God. They believed His promise. And they believed Him. And you know how they believed Him? They obeyed Him. And they took that promised land. It's an example of a perfect man coming together and receiving that promise. Look at Abraham. Look at Isaac. Look at Jacob. Look at all those that are an examples of them receiving the promise of the Lord. They believed God. They obeyed God. No matter what situation came up. I mean, look at Jacob. Oh my goodness. Brothers try to kill him. Sell him out. Leave him for dead. Oh, he believed, trusted the Lord, kept moving forward. You know, it's an interesting thing how we are, how we go by our sight, man. We look at this thing and, man, as soon as stuff hits the fan or a situation heads up, man, do we not get shaky? Our belief starts to waver. What'd you do, Lord? Bring me out here to die, to fail? No, I'm strengthening you. Does He not say, in this world you have tribulation? He doesn't say, in this world you will have tribulation, but except for you? No. And what does the scripture say about tribulation? Tribulation worketh patience, and a patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. You learn to trust the Lord. You learn where He showed up in your life time and time and time again. That's what He did with the first generation, but they still not believe. They still didn't believe. Where are you at? Where am I at? One thing, remember last week when I was talking about Kat, one of the things that Kat, when she received what I said to her, what her proof of receiving what I said to her, she didn't just hear it. She didn't just hear it. The proof is she asked that for the advice, or advice was given to her, and she took it, and she ran with advice and did it. And what happened? Deliverance happened for Kat. It's an amazing thing how that works. And how many times the Lord put those people above us and in front of us for what? So we can be delivered out of a situation so we can prosper in the Lord. But if we don't take heed to that, believe God, trust God with faith in Him, knowing His way, how can we turn around and expect The deliverance, the promise, the prospering in him. How can we expect that? That doesn't add up. Doesn't make any sense. He's not going to honor unbelief when you claim to be a believer. I mean, what does the scripture say actually about it? He says, you adulterers and adulteresses, you take on my name. You say you believe me. But you turn around and you're about your own thing and you're about being a part of the kingdom of this world. Not mine. That's what he's saying. So we really have it laid out before us. We heard the provision of the goodness of the Lord. We've seen the provision of the goodness of the Lord. We've had experienced it in our own lives, have we not? Have we not? I mean, just an example. I mean, I know not too long ago, Steve suggested in a Tuesday night Bible study to listen to the revivals about Matthew 13. Those are the Winchester revivals. Have y'all even started listening to it? Don't raise your hand. It's just a question. So that y'all can try to grab onto this concept here. If you do, you'll be blessed. If you don't, you won't receive that blessing. And whose fault is that? If you do, you'll receive goodness. You will prosper in the Lord. But if you don't, you won't receive that. But whose fault is that? Is that God's fault? Is that the minister's fault? No. It's your own. Don't stay. That's an example of staying in that place like the children of Israel in the first generation. Don't stay there. Don't stay there. Receive those blessings. Receive that handout that's out right there for you to receive. Prosper in him, and it doesn't matter how smart you are, how tall you are, how short you are, how dumb you are, how pretty you are. Praise God, because it's all about him. Amen. And how good he is. And here he has his hand out open stretched to you guys where you can receive those good things. Man, take it. Man, take it. I beg of you. You don't have to. It's y'all's personal choice to do so. But if you want to serve him, then serve him. If you want good things of him, receive it. And understand that way. Davey really lays it out in those revival meetings. Really lays it out. I suggest listen to him if you haven't. But the Lord's good. He hasn't called us to fail. Remember that? He's called us to succeed. So let's grab his victory and run with it. Amen. He's handed it to us. Let's grab it. Let's run with it. Let's partake of it. Let's be that second generation. Amen.
Thank you.
I'm a curse and his promise will endure. His joy is gonna be my strength. Though the darkness may last for a night,